At first glance, today's story is just another healing miracle. Jesus demonstrates his love, compassion, and power, and shows that he is the Son of God through his healing. But more, so much more, is going on in this passage. First, we have the location of the miracle. Jesus' first healing in St. Mark's Gospel was in the synagogue at Capernaum. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago, where Jesus healed the man with an unclean spirit. Then the gospel moves us on to another healing, this time in the home of Peter's mother-in-law, who was healed before ministering to Jesus and his friends. Now we're out in the open, in the public space, possibly beyond the walls and gates of the town, where all could see. We've gone from the religious to the private to the public. The gospel is seeping out, pushing at the edges, expanding at breakneck speed in Mark's gospel. However, for this miracle, it needs to be in the public, because in the public space, because of what else was going on. The leper who comes to Jesus is living in a terrible conundrum. He's been brought up as a Jew. He knows he has to pray each day, to attend synagogue each week, and when he can, to offer sacrifice at the temple. Yet he can't do any of these things because his illness makes him ritually and socially unclean. The Bible uses the word leprosy, but means something different to what we normally mean by this. What we normally mean in modern times is called correctly Hansen's disease, which is a chronic disease affecting peripheral nerves. People lose fingers, toes, the lining of their nose. The biblical writers had something different in mind, and it's in the modern era the term leprosy was coined for that disease. The biblical writers had in mind something we'd now call surface afflictions, things like psoriasis, eczema, fungal infections. Leviticus 13 lists conditions that made the sufferer ritually unclean. Leviticus 14 describes rituals and sacrifices that purified a person after recovery, and there were offerings for restoration to the community. These were elaborate, and it's probable they were quite costly. More, the law in Leviticus also prescribed how people should behave who suffered from the disease. In Leviticus 13:45, we read that lepers had to wear torn clothes, let their hair hang loose, and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," if anyone approached them. They were to live outside the camp, i.e. away from their communities. One presumes this was about more than ritual uncleanliness, but also about fear of infection. Touching a diseased person violated purity rules. And in today's gospel, this would have rendered Jesus himself unclean. In our story this morning, the man approached Jesus, which is clearly against the spirit of all those laws in Leviticus. The terrible predicament that the man found himself in meant he couldn't see his family. He had to live away from his friends, relying presumably on charity for food, as he wasn't able to work. Brought up to pray both alone and with others, he could do neither because of his uncleanliness. And in the age before modern medicine, there was virtually no hope of a cure. Mark uses an interesting Greek word which is very difficult to translate into English when he describes Jesus' response to the man. The word, which I think is pronounced splankinizomai, sometimes is rendered moved with compassion, or as in the Good News Bible, moved with pity, or feeling sorry for him. But the Greek means a lot more than that. The word has connotations of being compelled. Jesus was moved in his body and heart with compassion and compelled to do something. It's almost as if he has no choice but to act, to move beyond the law, to do something. in this case, to touch and heal. By doing so, Jesus broke with social convention and taboos, and may even have broken the law by his act of touching the leper. And then there is this odd ending of the passage where Jesus sternly tells the man not to tell others of his healing, but present himself to the priest to make the ritual offerings. Doing this, of course, would have restored the man back into the community. But the man is moved with uncontainable joy, much as Jesus was moved with uncontainable compassion, to tell others of what God had done for him. The healed man couldn't accept the law and its restrictions, at least not right away, and became a preacher telling others of what God had done for him. Throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus is often telling people to keep quiet about what he'd done for them. I wonder if he wanted people to respond to his message, not his miracles, or if he was stepping back a bit from the inevitable confrontation with the authorities that followed his ministry. Either way, this healed leper, this man, couldn't contain his joy. Now, in our Western culture, we seem very embarrassed to talk about religion, which is very different to the cultures in Africa and Asia, where it's perfectly fine to chat about this. My African, Pakistani, and Iranian friends find it very odd that we don't talk about faith here. And I often find I have more in-depth conversations about God with them than I do with Western friends, both Christian and non-Christian. Jesus' context was more like that of my Asian and African friends. But there was a challenge for us to get faith back into the public sphere. We're fine talking about it in church, and Jesus' first miracle was in the synagogue. We're fine talking about it in the home, and Jesus' second miracle was in the home of Peter's mother-in-law. But talking about it in public, it sort of makes us uneasy. We don't want to be seen as religious fanatics. We probably don't want to stand on the main street giving out tracts on a Saturday. But there are other ways to bring faith into the public sphere. Simply saying what gives us strength when we're having problems does that. Simply saying to someone having a hard time that we have been or that we will pray for them does that. Simply showing love and concern to another in need and letting them see how faith is worked out is another way. Inviting them to church is yet another. The second lesson from this week's text is, I think, something to do with impurity. Careful who I look at when I say impurity. In Jesus' time, it was easier to see who was impure, who was cast out. It's harder now. One of the saddest places I've been to is on the island of Hoy in Orkney, where under the majestic hills of that island, which are the tallest hills in all of Orkney, is the lonely site of Betty Corrigal's grave. At the age of 27, Betty's life was left in ruins when the man she'd fallen pregnant to deserted her and ran away to sea. The castigation of the locals and the trauma and the shame of the situation were too much for the poor girl, when she was driven to take her own life. An attempt to drown herself in the sea was foiled when she was rescued and taken back to shore. But her respite was brief. Days later, she hanged herself. Her suicide meant that she wasn't given a Christian burial. Denied a place in the kirkyard, the lairds of Melsetter and Hoy also refused to bury her body on their ground. So Betty Corrigal had to be interred in an unconsecrated grave. Her final resting place is an unmarked, isolated place on the boundary of the parishes of Hoy and North Walls. There she lay forgotten until the 1930s, when her grave was discovered and properly marked. Every age has its outcasts. Maybe today it's the poor sanctioned by an ever more hostile benefit regime. Maybe it's the asylum seeker denied the opportunity to work, dumped in appalling housing and facing a system based on disbelief and prejudice. Maybe it's the migrant desperately searching for a better life. Maybe it's the addict who can't face life without a bottle or a fix. Maybe it's the person with mental health problems never finding effective treatment. Alan reminded me last week that the sign says all are welcome. I wonder who we'd find hard to welcome. The healed man had joy, which was uncontainable. His healing restored him to the community, stopped him being an outcast, and his amazement and gratitude compelled him to tell others, just as Jesus' love compelled Jesus to cross social, religious, and legal boundaries. We need to find the bravery to be so moved with compassion that we reach out to others, to those who see themselves and who are seen by others as untouchable, and so be filled with joy at what the Lord has done for us, that we can't help but tell others. Amen.